Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Now, the cost of materials is rising. The availability of workers has fallen. Housing targets are as high as ever. Demand is through the roof. Supply is on the floor. Prices are high both for housing and for rent, and delivery is trying to catch up. So as we all know, it's a perfect storm in the housing sector. And I'm joined in studio now by Stephen Garvey, who's the chief executive of one of the country's largest property development firms, Glenveagh Properties. You're very welcome. Thanks for being here. Your ambition, I know, is to build 3,000 homes a year, isn't it?
Yes.
How close are you to that?
This year we're expecting to deliver about 1,400 homes across the country. Our ambition is to get to 3,000 units as quickly as possible. Our core product and where we mostly focus on is first-time buyer, that affordable product. We are ramping up. We're ramping up as quickly as possible. Obviously, it's been a very volatile 2 years due to the tail effects of the pandemic with supply constraints. What we're seeing out there at the moment is predominantly all material-based inflation at this moment in time.
I mean, I'm sure you look at your targets and you think, well, everything has changed in the last couple of months. You've got the war in Ukraine, you've got the supply chain issues, which, as you say, is coming from the tail end of the pandemic, but also the fact that it's very hard to get staff. I mean, how do all of those factors impact your targets?
Yeah, I think the industry needs to respond. The industry needs to get to the long-term target. And our view of the target needs to be 40,000 houses, which is actually in the Housing for All document. By 2028, 2029, we need to be living 40,000 houses across the country.
At the moment, it's 33,000, isn't it?
Your commencements, it's 33,000 at the moment is the expected target. But I suppose what's going to come here in the next 30 days is obviously the new census data is going to come out. We expect the population to increase to about 5.2 million, as well as taking in 100,000 Ukrainian refugees. So our housing stats and the targets we have are probably out of date at this stage. And this all came from the
national... So our housing for all targets are off, you think?
The long-term target of 40,000 units is where we need to get to. We need to deliver 40,000 units per year. The problem at the moment and what we're working with is that there's a baseline of 33,000 units. That's what we're allowed to operate. But those numbers are already out of line. They should be realigned to be about 40,000 units a year.
Can we even deliver on the 33, though? That's the question, isn't it?
Well, I think if you look at the industry, and absolutely, did it have a lot of flaws back in 2005, 2006? It did. But it actually did respond. It was able to deliver 70, 80, 90,000 units a year. What I would say and what we're seeing, there's a number of dynamics. The construction industry has moved on dramatically. It's adapting to technology. It's adapting to new methodology. Our own business ourselves, we have two factories now operational. We can produce almost 25% of our product in a factory floor, which is going to make us more efficient. And the industry is striving to move to this. In relation to labour, what I would say is there's a number of things that we're seeing, particularly in this year. The availability of labour has improved in the last couple of weeks. And what we're seeing is that the country has been able to stay open for longer. Last year, we had to operate in a 13-week lockdown, which probably pushed a lot of labour out of the country. It migrated into different markets. That labour has migrated back. So you're seeing more available labour for certain projects. We're certainly seeing that on the ground.
So people are coming back to Ireland.
People are coming back to work. We're also seeing in the UK market, the housing market is actually cooling down. So there's available labour that's looking from the UK to come to Ireland. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing we need with labour is accommodation.
Yeah, where do they stay?
We need to, we just talked about hotels just a few minutes ago. We need to find more accommodation. So what we really need to do is ramp this up. The biggest thing we're seeing, just as the industry has to respond. And I suppose one of the biggest issues we have in the sector is that in the national planning framework that was rolled out in 2017, the raw material that we need to build homes is land. Well, land is being reduced on an ongoing basis. If we don't have land, we can't build the houses out there.
Reduced through rezoning,
dezoning, whatever the situation is, it is happening out there. It is happening across various county plans. You've seen the Cork Development Plan, you've seen the Meath Development Plan, you've seen the Kildare Plan. Fingal are just about to do their draft development plan. They have enough land for about 28,000. They're being told to phase that out, not make it available today, to phase it down to about 15 or 14,000 units.
Why is that?
Because this is the tool we're using. We're using a tool called the Housing Needs Demand Assessment Tool, which is actually what it's doing is it's projected where the population was, not today. It's looking back at old data. And what we need to do is accept that the population has increased and we need to make as much land that is available where there is good social infrastructure, where there are schools, where there is transport links, where you can build sustainable communities. That's where we need to make land. And what we need to do then is reform our policies. what we all have to accept is that building apartments are really, really expensive. And the end consumer actually doesn't really want it. We have to build apartments in the city centre. We accept that.
They don't want it or they can't afford them?
Both to a degree at this moment.
Because if they were cheaper, you could buy them younger and it's a perfect starting home, isn't it? If you're in your 20s and it's 200,000, you can probably aim to get there.
But the consumer today is 35, 36 years of age.
Because the property's too expensive.
The point of time that they're buying, certainly, absolutely, for single people, for single people, divorcees, they actually need one beds and two beds. The problem we have at the moment is the expense of producing the apartments. And that's the issue with viability. If you look at our planning permissions that are in the system, we have 70,000 units through the system. 55,000 of those are apartments. I would say somewhere around 45 to 50,000 of those aren't viable to deliver for what the consumer can pay.
Why is that? Is that because you're expecting to get a margin that you can't achieve if you sell them at a lower price?
Some of them don't even have margin. That's the facts.
You're not buying them. You're not building them and selling them for nothing now for the good of your
health. As all industries, people have to make a margin to produce. If we were actually to get...
That's what I'm saying. That's why I don't accept that they don't have margins.
But
otherwise,
you wouldn't be doing it. And this is the debate that people are having. How much margin are... We're reporting our margins. We're not... Our operating margin is less than 10%. Like, we have to make something to make it on the private side. You have to make, but that's not what's actually making them unviable. It's not the margin. It's simply the cost of producing. Apartment construction has moved up dramatically. If you think about the product that the industry produces today versus 15 years ago, it's a bit like buying a 3-litre diesel vehicle versus a Tesla car.
Mm-hmm. The industry, there's a reason for that, isn't there?
Absolutely. But that's the good things. That
quality needed
quality
to improve.
Quality needed. The energy efficiency. Our house that we produce today is 40% more efficient than it was 10 years ago. The utility costs have reduced dramatically. But what we need to do, and I suppose one of the solutions we can look at, and we actually have found solutions before. If you look at some of the areas that are the most desirable to live, delivering housing and apartments in suburban sites isn't viable. It isn't working because there's no end demand for the apartments, and the apartments are costing so much they're making the houses unviable. What we need to do is look at a different version of compact growth where we could actually deliver the densities required by national policy, which are somewhere between 40 and 50 units per hectare, but actually convert it all into own door housing. There is solutions, and we've demonstrated these solutions to the department that there is a way and a mechanism. If you look at amending how we lay out our sites and how they work, you can actually produce more own door housing. If you produce more own door housing, it's more viable.
And what's stopping you doing that now? Regulations? Is it?
It's regulations and it's standards, and it's standards that are implemented across 31 local authorities that need to be brought to a level that this is how we're going to. An example of this is just look at one of the most desirable places to live that isn't high rise, Stony Batter in Dublin. The density in Stony Batter in Dublin is 70 units per hectare. We actually have done this in the past. We just need to go back and look at what we've done really well and bring those principles forward.
Okay, you have said that the central bank lending rules are causing huge problems for people who want to buy. They can afford to buy, but they can't get a high enough mortgage. But I also heard you telling a story about in 2006, you were handing the keys to somebody, a house that you'd sold them, and it was a civil servant who just started in a job. And you thought to yourself, I know that this person has borrowed 10 times their salary and I'm not happy with this. I feel something is going to go wrong. Now, in saying what you're saying about the central bank lending rules now, are you not asking for the same situation to happen again?
And I suppose put it into context. When that person bought, and I kind of knew at that stage that the market had, the person that bought that product off us got 110% mortgage. They got 10 times their income. What we are saying is that in a more realistic terms, the macroprudential rules have worked to a degree what they've to control house price inflation. They have restricted people from being able to buy a house. But what has actually happened is they've forced them into the rental market. And unfortunately, that's what you're seeing in the rental market at the moment. What we would ask for is an amendment to the macroprudential rules. Instead of being 3.5, maybe look at 4 times. I'm not asking to go to 10 times, but 4 times. What we do now need, what is coming, and I suppose to why we really ask for that is, if you think about an apartment that costs 450,000 or 500,000 to produce, and a single person wants to buy, under the present rules, they simply cannot get there. Mm-hmm. What is coming now is obviously shared equity.
But has the central bank not decided that for a single person to buy that apartment at that price, that it is not going to be good for them in the long run if things go wrong in their financial life?
I think if you look at Ireland's housing market at the moment, it's one of the most conservative. People have actually very low leverage. There is the macroprudential rules have been tried in different jurisdictions where they implemented them at the start, and what they did then, they created flexibility. What if you look at the housing where we were in 2010, 11, 12, the biggest defaulter of mortgages were second time buyers. Actually, first time buyers never defaulted. Buy to lets were the other big defaulter. First time buyers, when they buy a house, start at whatever income, they're likely to move up in income over a period of time. And what the rules don't give is they don't give any flexibility. What we would actually say is the rules maybe need to be looked at in the sense of if they're not going to look at the multiple, it should be more based on someone's disposable income. What is this percentage of disposable income a person shouldn't be? And into that, then you could put a range of if interest rates move to 2%, 3%, 4%, you could have flexibility.
But you are building for those people, because I know that you have looked at a couple who are on the average industrial wage, 80,000, yes. They can borrow up to about 320. You build for those people, yes. You cater for those people, and you can do it. And you're clearly doing well, because you reported profits of 46 million in Glenbeigh.
For last year.
So you're doing well off them. So if you're saying we want the rules to change, do you just want to charge them more for the same house?
The central bank has actually now ruled on the has said we're not going to change the rules. I think we all accept that. Obviously, the Housing for All programme has brought in shared equity to help those consumers. So we need to see how that works and how that will be operated.
People say that's going to push up prices, don't they?
Well, remember, it operates within caps, so it can't actually exceed certain caps. So ultimately, it can't push them past certain price points, so that's probably not going to happen. And those caps are quite conservative.
Those caps reviewed.
No, I'm not asking, you want the prices to go up. What I would actually say, what the industry now needs, I think this minister and this government have done an awful lot to fix, to try and help people afford a house and to buy a house. Accept it. What needs to now be focused on, how do we get more supply into the system? And what I would ask is that we need to review our policies, our planning policies, really quickly. Sit down with the industry and say, what does the industry see? What are the issues to viability? How can we reform this? And then let the industry respond. I think that's where we need to start. Because if the central bank can see supply moving up and there's more product available and they can see rents going down, then they can look at what way they can amend. So supply now is actually the critical point that we need to sort.
Okay, can I talk to you about what might happen politically down the road? We've talked about Housing for All. You said that the current minister, you believe, is making some changes that may help in the medium term. But if we look at the opinion polls, there's every chance we'll see a change of government, isn't there, in the middle of Housing for All, to a Sinn Féin housing minister with a very different take, a person who's very critical, Eoin Óibrín, of what the current minister is doing. Have you met Eoin Óibrín?
I haven't actually personally met him. I was at a conference yesterday, ULI conference, and he was due to speak, but unfortunately he wasn't there.
Okay. Well, what do you think of what he's had to say about housing?
I think the problem with housing at the moment, it has come very politicised, and everyone is talking about it. There is some very negative commentary and there's some very false commentary about what's going on out there. Ultimately, who will deliver housing into the future is the private sector. The private sector have the resources, they have the tools. They're the people you need. What we need is the public and the private sector to come together.
Yeah, but you can't disregard the political, because you've spoken
about
regulations needing to change, planning needing to change. Some of these schemes, you welcome them, but you'd like to see the caps increased. I mean, you're looking
I'm not asking for the caps to be increased.
Okay.
What we need to see now is we need to see shared equity get up and operational and then see how it goes.
We could be looking at a minister, Eoin Óibrín, who described the Croí Cónaithe plan, for example, as the most crazy housing scheme that I've ever heard from any government in recent years.
That's Eoin's opinion. I think what Croí Cónaithe is trying to do, just to give an example of what Croí Cónaithe is trying to do, is it is trying to make apartments that are unviable viable. And the caps are designed to make where, and to give an example.
To subsidise you to build them.
But we can't build them at the moment because they're not viable. And they're not viable. And this is where we really need to examine the policies. Mm. We keep focusing on where we need to put the money. I would say we need to now go and look at where the policies are.
Is it a crazy housing scheme?
No, no. What I would say is...
Is it a bonanza for developers? That's what the Social Democrats said.
No. if it was such a bonanza for developers, why aren't developers building? Why aren't we asking the question that we're at 20-odd thousand units and we should be building 40,000? We have the resources, we have the capital, but we're not doing it. Well, think about it this way. We're asking under the National Development Plan that 50% of the population will be in the greater Dublin area and 50% will be spread to the regional cities of Galway, Limerick, Cork and Waterford. Well, in Waterford, apartments aren't viable. An apartment, the consumer doesn't want it and they can't be delivered. So these subsidies are designed to support the delivery of that. We do need compact growth.
To support but the delivery of a product that the buyer doesn't want.
Well, my belief is that what we're seeing, if you look back at the point in time, 30% of all apartments that were produced back in 2005 and 2006 were actually only purchased by people. The other 70% were actually purchased by investors, mom and pop landlords. And those mom and pop landlords are leaving the industry at a rapid pace. So we have to actually accept we can't keep doing what we did. Mm-hmm. But there is a way we should look at the policies that can actually deliver for the people out there, what the consumer needs, because that's actually what we need to sort. And as an industry, we are willing to look at different ways that can actually reduce the cost, not increase the cost.
Listen, people listening will be interested to get your take on where you think house prices are going.
I think the biggest concern I have at the moment where house prices are, and I can see it from the demand, is the viable stock that's available to build is reducing really quickly. And I go back to the stat I said about the 70,000. There's only 15,000 of them are now homes. And the big concern is we will run through that really quickly. So available product is going to reduce on an ongoing basis. And if the consumer can't buy the apartment, yes, Croí Cónaithe will help with 5,000 of that, but we need 20,000. Mm-hmm. So my concern is where we are with policy and where planning permissions are, the available product is going to reduce.
So the stock simply won't be there,
at this moment in time, at that 350,000, that stock is going to reduce really, really quickly. Mm-hmm. And you can see that. And then you have the delays of planning at the moment. Like the SHD process has obviously been wound down. We're new into the new LRD. But LRD will still take another 12 months before it brings through any product. Okay. So there is challenges coming. On my view on where house prices are going, we are doing our utmost to keep our house price. If you look at our last year, our actual price went down by 2,000 because we were able to innovate how we supply the product. As a house builder and being one of the biggest in the country, what we want to produce is as many houses as possible. Not to push the price, but produce
volume.
Volume. Okay. Volume is the key to solving.
All right, Stephen Garvey, CEO of Glenbay Properties. Thank you very much for coming in. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.